This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 84. Today, CJ and I are going to talk about a couple technology conferences, AngularU and SP TechCon Dev Days in San Francisco, California, recorded live June 24th, 2015. Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Andrew Connell.
And I'm Chris Johnson.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it. Hey, CJ, how's it going?
Very good. Very good. We're both in the same place for a change.
This is a bit rare.
I know. It's kind of nice.
So we're sitting here in San Francisco, California, the week of June the 24th. We're here. I guess we're both speaking at a pair of conferences here. We'll get to those in just a minute. Let's do a little bit of news. We'll start it off first. We'll shake it up a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to just get straight into the meat and potatoes.
Yeah. So why don't you go first?
Okay, so I've got a news article that I thought was really interesting by Forbes. And again, we'll link to this in the show notes. That's titled, by 2018, 62% of CRM will be cloud-based, and the cloud computing market will reach $127.5 billion.
A billion here, a billion there. It starts to add up.
Ah, what's a billion between friends, eh? A couple of billion Benjamins, in fact, going on here. So this is incredible. It talks about the growth rate, like the compound annual growth rate, or the CAGR, of around 22.8% from 2014 to 2018 in the cloud computing market. And they've got an interesting graph here. It says that in 2008, that it was 5.6 billion in size. And then in 2014, 56.6 billion. So that was a CAGR between 2008 and 2014 of 35.8% compound annual growth rate. And then from 2014 to 2018, it will grow from 56.6 to 127.7, 0.5 billion.
Good God.
At a CAGR of 22.8.
Golly.
Yeah. Phenomenally huge.
That's ridiculous.
They make some interesting points here, sort of key takeaways from this report. They say it's growing at 22.8 CAGR and will reach, you know, 127.5 by 2018 that I just covered. SaaS is rapidly accelerating as the percentage of total application spend. So they're now saying that 30% of all application spending is for SaaS-based applications.
Wow.
And projected to grow at a CAGR of 17.6%.
Is that just IT spending or cloud spend?
They say application spending.
So that's
outside of just cloud. Yeah.
Wow.
And then the final point is 62% of all CRM software will be delivered by the cloud in 2018.
62% of all CRM software.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy, huh?
Good God.
Yep. I thought that was...
There's a lot of money in the banana stand.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody's rattling the tin and taking donations at $127 billion. That's a bunch.
That's ridiculous.
Yep.
Good God, man.
So yeah, this is up on Forbes. We'll link to it off in the show notes. But it's actually from a report called the Byron Deeter's State of the Cloud Report 2015. Huh. And these are some of their key takeaways that they got reported on in Forbes.
So get our paws on that one and take a look at that report.
Yeah, definitely go have a squiz at that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
How about you?
What's your little something to yap about in the news?
Yeah, there was a little bit of Docker news that came out just recently. So VentureBeat was reporting that Docker and CoreOS united to start a open container project and standardize the runtime in the image format.
This would be kind of nice, right? Yeah. It'll be good because it means that they're trying to do some work, I think, together to make sure that we don't end up with this really fragmented containerization story.
Yeah, so the idea here is that for everyone, both users and vendors, are going to be able to agree on a standard container runtime and image format to prevent unnecessary fragmentation. So, you know, Docker's done a lot to help popularize the use of Linux containers as a lightweight alternative to virtual machines, which many of the enterprises use to run a lot of different applications on each one of the different physical servers. What CoreOS does is it sells an operating system that runs applications in Docker containers. But what they did is they criticized Docker, CoreOS did, back in late last year in 2014. They criticized Docker on several points and announced their own alternatives to Docker runtime. So what this has come to is that two hot startups have kind of said, let's set aside all the disagreements and let's come up with a standard container format that everyone can kind of agree on, and we can all standardize and make it easier. So different clouds between Azure and AWS and Google, and then even private clouds, could then standardize on one container. That's nice as like app developers too, because then we can build applications against one standard format and know that our applications then are truly could be potentially incredibly portable. They could be truly portable between these different platforms if we're all in the standard container formats, right?
Yeah, I sort of see it similar to document formats, right? Because you could say that, you know, a container is equivalent to a document that's got some stuff in it, Words in the documents case. But if, you know, if Microsoft and the other various document standards had come to an agreement earlier, right, we'd have a standard document format. In the end, Word and DocX and all that won out, right? OpenXML. But we also have PDF as well. Mm-hmm. But you can imagine a world where we just had a document format, right? Mm-hmm. Or a container format, and you could open them and view them and whatever.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Mm.
Yeah, so we got that. We'll put that link up in the show notes. Both that one and the last one, we've got them up in the Flipboard magazine that you set up. I've got to get hip to being able to add these. I've still have yet to try and even to add a link to it. I keep putting stuff in our Evernote. It makes more sense to put them there, and then we just kind of read straight off of that and let other people can see it as we find it throughout the week. So,
yeah, we should. I've just been throwing stuff in there, and there's a bunch of people follow it now and like it and stuff like that. So,
yeah, that's cool.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, so today, I guess we've just chatted for just a bit on what we're up to this week, right? So it's kind of interesting. It's cloudy related.
Yeah.
So we're both out here for one conference, for the SP TechCon Dev Days conference, which this is the first time that Dave Rubenstein and company, BZ Media, have put together a specific SP TechCon that's just targeted to the developer audience. And it's developers both SharePoint on-prem and then also for Office 365. And there's a couple different tracks of a wide cross-section of content. And they usually do two conferences a year, one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast. This year it was in Austin, Texas, and then later it'll be in Boston. I think it's in August. But his conference is traditionally much more focused around the IT pro, business user, information worker audience. Developers are usually in a much smaller audience there. But what the... here that this is all focused just on the developer. So we brought everybody in here. We're in San Francisco doing this. And so you did the keynote today. So yeah. How'd that go today?
Good. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was called, I titled it, Who Moved My Cheese? And basically the premise of it was talking about the changing developer landscape with Office and SharePoint and with the move to the cloud and move to more modern web development tools and technologies and stuff, and how it applied to developers both on premises and in the cloud for around SharePoint predominantly.
It's interesting to see how I'm interested to see this crowd that's here and how many people are traditional SharePoint developers doing full trust or sandbox solutions, or really just working mostly on prem. They're not working for the cloud at all. And then how many are here are doing 365 stuff, but then how much of that mix as well is that people who are on-prem who are trying to get to the cloud and they're interested in it. Mm. And you know what mix of that is the people that are also just saying, no, we're staying on-prem. We don't like the cloud story. So
I've definitely seen the conversations I've had, and this could be confirmation bias because I talked about the subject. So yeah. Maybe people are only coming and asking me about that subject.
Self-selecting themselves in.
Right, exactly, yeah. So I wouldn't take this as a rash generalization of the whole crowd. But from the conversations I've had, most of the people are in that middle camp, which is we've got a big on-prem investment and we're doing lots there, but we're evaluating and starting to think about Office 365 and or in the early stages of some projects. So yeah. I've been pretty impressed really by the level of questions about this stuff, and it sounds like people are doing real projects on it. So it was good.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm hoping that we can grab some people. I know that you're only here until tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that sometime over the next like day or two that I'll be able to grab some of the attendees and find out what kind of things they're doing, what kind of challenges that they're having, you know, how many are keeping it real. Let's hear some real stories. And I've always, there's stuff that you and I hear, like talking to people that are in our circles, but we also are kind of, we know people that are also kind of on the leading edge of a lot of this stuff. And so we hear about what everybody wants to do, what they want to work on, but you know, what are people really doing a good cross section of people in the community. So,
yeah, like I got a good example of that is I got a question about what we're doing with BCS and SharePoint.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And there's a subject that's near and dear to my heart, but weirdly I haven't spoken about for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, I worked on the BCS integration in WSS 3, I think it was, you know, Foundation 2010.
Yeah.
V4, yeah. And did the virtual list and external content type integration and things like that, all using BCS. But it's not a subject I've talked about a bunch. and it came up and I was like, wow. I haven't spoken about that for a bit. Yeah.
I had somebody do that to me I think that was in... I was at Atlanta SharePoint Saturday a couple of weeks ago, and someone just came to me and started asking something about CMS. They were like, "Well, yeah, so is this kind of like a connected posting?" So I'm like, "Whoa, here we go! This is awesome!" It's like,
yeah, now we're talking.
It's kind of like connected posting. It's a great analogy.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's cool. It's got a bunch of good people here that they brought in to speak here at this conference again this time, and a bunch of devs. So I was really happy to see that they did this conference. That they have a dedicated developer conference just for SharePoint or for 365 for this whole ecosystem. Because, you know, now that we don't have a SharePoint conference and it's at night, you have build, and it still is a little confusing for where developers should go, what they're trying to get their information. But, it's nice to have a dedicated SharePoint developer focus here.
Well, so. You know, like in the sessions, it's all going to be devs, of course, right? Yeah. But then outside of that, you know, you go to the bar afterwards and hang out and have a beer, and you know that the people you're going to talk to are your people.
They're devs.
You know?
They're devs. It's funny you say that because I was here for another conference. I'll go to that in just a minute.
Yeah.
I have a funny story that that happened to me this weekend. So I was on my way here, got on the plane. I flew out here on Sunday, which was Father's Day. So I got to get up on Sunday morning. I had to mow the yard. I had to go, then scramble, finish packing up, get a shower and stuff. Didn't get to spend hardly any time with the kids. I was grumpy. I was pissed that I had to do this flight. So I get on the first flight, and I don't know about you, but I don't like talking to people on a plane.
Yep.
I have a family. I got a 10-year-old son. I got a 6-year-old little girl. I do this. You know, when I'm on the road, I'm in front of people all the time. I talk all the time. When I'm on a plane, that is my time.
You know, I've got a good rule. It's a good rule of life around this, right? Yep. There's two places you don't talk to your neighbor. One, on a plane. Two, in a bathroom.
I like it. I'm not interested.
Those are the rules of life I play by.
Oh, man. So I sat there, I got on the plane. This dude just started yapping up, and I'm like, oh, man. So I got a short 45-minute flight, the first connection. And then I go from where I am to Atlanta, and I go from Atlanta to San Francisco, and I get on the plane. And as I'm walking back, I look at my seat number, and I'm going up, and I'm like, son of a I'm sitting next to a little 3 or 4-year-old little boy. And I'm like, I don't want to sit next to a kid. I got kids.
I love kids, but when they're mine.
I like my kids. I don't like anybody else. So I'm just like, I don't want to do this. And I sit down, and he just starts yapping right away. No gap, no nothing. He just starts talking to me. I'm just like, one, pull up my iPad. That's cool. Do you have any games on there? Do you play Angry Birds? I'm just like, the mom's sitting on the other side of him. So he's sitting in the middle. She's sitting on the other side of him. I'm sitting on the edge, which is kind of weird because usually you put the kid away from the stranger, put him up against the wall, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But regardless, she looks at me, and she can tell that I'm just not in the mood to talk. And I'm not being an ass. I'm not being a jerk. I'm just, you know, you can tell. So she looks at me, and she finally just says, she looks at him, she goes, son, she said, honey, the pilot put this nice man in timeout. He's not allowed to talk to anybody, and nobody's allowed to talk to him. Aside from trying to keep myself from busting out laughing, I looked at her and nodded, and I looked at him, and I kind of put my shoulders up like, I'm not allowed to talk.
Yeah.
The kid looked at me with his huge saucer eyes like, oh, my God, you're in trouble. He talked to me the whole trip. So I got here at the conference, right? And you say it was a bunch of developers. You sit there and see people in a bar, and I still wasn't in the mood to talk. I sat down at the bar. Some guy sits down next to me and just starts talking to me, right? Nobody else is here yet. I'm not seeing anybody I know yet. I just want to get something to eat. I just went out for a run. I want something to eat. I want a beer. I want to come back to the room. I just want to crash. I'm tired. Guy sits down to me, starts talking right next to me, just talking. He's like, are you here for the conference? And of course, right when you say something, right, you're like, oh, shit, I shouldn't have said that. I'm like, yeah, I'm here for the conference. I'm like, ah, I shouldn't have said that. Right? He goes, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm speaking. I'm like, ah, I shouldn't have said that too. So he starts yapping on. After like 4 or 5 minutes, I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, I should tell this guy I'm still in timeout. I'm not allowed to talk.
Nice. Yeah. I wish there was like a little LED on your forehead that was like, I'm open for business or I'm closed for business.
It's like, I'm not, right? Yeah. A t-shirt. I'm in timeout. I'm not allowed to talk yet. I got the dunce hat.
Hey, speaking of people talking, a couple of our listeners are at this show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they came up to me and they were like, hey, I listened to the show. You guys do a great job. So I didn't catch their names, but yeah, I was pretty it was pretty nice to run into them.
That's always nice to have people constrained. Always nice to see that people actually that are listening and are enjoying the show. So
yeah,
that's cool.
So tell us the story about this whole two conferences in one place thing.
Yeah, man. So I got asked to speak at there's two conferences going on this week. It's SP TechCon. That's SP TechCon Dev Days. And that's running Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then there's another conference that's running Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And it's called Angular U. And so it's all about Angular. It's Angular University. And it's one of the three big Angular conferences of the year worldwide. And so I got asked to speak at both SP TechCon and at Angular U. And I committed to both of them knowing that they were about the same time in the same city. And then I come to find out they're the same in the same week. I'm like, oh, crap. So I go to check out both of them. Like, I'm committed to this. And I find out that, okay, well, I have one day where there's an overlap on Wednesday. And I did. So I did a workshop today. So I didn't see your keynote because I was at a workshop. I was doing a workshop for the Angular U. And so I show up and I check with both of them. And I lucked out that they're in the same freaking hotel. I mean, I have two hotel reservations.
What are the chances of that?
I was so terrified that I was gonna like double book or whatever. But I did. But it worked out. But, you know, it was really cool because – so – no SharePoint. I didn't think there were SharePoint people here, but I would think that Angular was, you know, primarily at a Google audience, right?
Yeah.
I thought the same thing at ngConf, and it was pretty much that way. But this conference, there wasn't nearly as many MacBook Pros. Usually you see mostly MacBooks. There was a good mix, 50-50 Windows and OS X. Mm. So it was a bit of a surprise.
So what do you reckon? Do you think – I've got a theory on that, but I don't know if it holds any weight. Mm. Do you think it's like web technologies like Angular – starting to make inroads in enterprise businesses, and now they're sending enterprise devs to conferences like Angular U and like ngConf.
Yeah, I think
on Angular.
I think that enterprises are now realizing that the ability to build robust business applications that are web apps, but they feel like client apps. And so there's zero touch deployment, there's zero touch install. It all runs in the browser, but you get the richness of a richly deployed app. And this same technology applies to mobile development. There's a thing called the Ionic framework. What that does is it hosts an Angular web application, but as a mobile app. So it does that inside of, it does as a native app inside of like iOS or an Android or a Windows Phone.
Like PhoneGap.
Mm-hmm. It's like PhoneGap. It's kind of like PhoneGap, but it's specific to Angular.
I see.
So I think that you see more and more people are able to use this. A lot more people are interested in it. So you saw a lot of enterprises that were there this week. I mean, I saw Walmart was there and Fidelity was there, and you had a bunch, and Schwab was there, a bunch of big companies sent a bunch of devs to this Angular conference. And so what I found that was interesting, I was here kind of doing the Microsoft thing and speaking about Office 365 and about Azure AD and how we can use Azure for different things. And so I did a breakout session yesterday. Today I did a full day workshop on it. And man, I asked both times, like, how many of you are Office 365 customers? And maybe 15, 20% on one of them. In the workshop, I had about 40%.
Wow.
And then I had, how many of you are using Azure? And maybe like 40 to 60%. How many of you are Microsoft devs? And there's a good split on people who are server-side Microsoft devs, .NET guys, who want to learn Angular, but how do I use Angular with the stuff I already know? Right?
Yeah,
the,
I see.
The other 50% of the split that I saw were Angular developers that were saying, I want to know how I can take advantage of stuff like Azure. And what's this thing called Office 365?
Mm.
The funniest part about it today, so both of them were really interested. And it's kind of, the second time I've been at a conference where I'm not really sure how people are going to react to this. Like, are people just going to be like, I don't like this stuff at all. It's like, you know, whatever. And they just blow it off. And it's pleasantly surprising they're not. They're really interested. But the part that really blew me away with it was today during the workshop, I got towards the end of the workshop, and just by coincidence, I showed them where we started talking about doing Office add-ins and how you could do Angular apps inside of Office, Angular apps as an Office add-in living inside of Outlook or living inside of Excel or Word or whatever. I showed it to them. They went apeshit. They loved it. They absolutely loved it. Not only that, they're sitting there like, well, you know, how do I go through and deploy it? How does this thing get installed or anything? I was like, it's just a web application and it's just an XML file that makes your host app understand what this thing is. And oh yeah, by the way, you can even sell these things. They went crazy over it. I had to cut out like some of the stuff that I was going to show and just started showing a bunch of stuff on Office add-ins. I think Office add-ins, we're starting to see a bit of a tipping point where there's a lot of interest in how to build these things and on how we can take advantage of these inside the organizations.
Yeah, and I think especially getting cross-platform and multi-device mm-hmm. coverage across. Like we, I showed in the keynote this morning, I showed running an Office add-in in Excel on the iPad, mm-hmm. and then I showed it in Word on the iPad as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think, so maybe that cross-device and cross-platform nature is paying off.
I think it is. I think it definitely is. I mean, that was, their eyes lit up when I did something crazy. I opened my own email and Outlook and everything right in front of the room in the workshop, but they were saying, well, how was the install story look like? And I was like, well, you know, you can do sideload, but then you can, but the ideal way is to put it in the Office store and be able to download and install it that way. And they said, well, where does it run then? So I started explaining about how everything was cross-platform, but how once I installed it once, this app will just show up wherever yeah. I'm using it. So I took the XML for this one app that I had built and I ran real quick. I installed it in OA and then I fired up Outlook on my VM on Windows, fired it up, went through, opened up the same email, and the same app just opened up. They're like, you didn't install anything extra there. I'm like, it's part of Office 365. It's like, it's a single install. It's seamless. They're like, that's how it's supposed to work.
You know, lots of these guys that, especially the non-Microsoft ones, right, probably using Gmail mm-hmm. and a whole lot of Chrome extensions or whatever they're called. Mm-hmm. Chrome apps? Chrome extensions?
Chrome extensions, yeah.
Chrome extensions for doing stuff in Gmail. Mm-hmm. So they're probably familiar with that concept of like adding stuff to their email and being a little surprised that now Outlook's got it. Mm-hmm. But the kick-ass bit, right, is if you use Chrome on an iPad, you don't get those extensions. Mm-mm. And that stuff doesn't run cross-platform and cross-device, whereas it does. Mm-hmm. If you open it in OA, you still get your add-ins in OA, and Outlook web access is the same way you would on Outlook on the desktop.
Yeah. I was really surprised at the enthusiasm. And then the same way I was at ngConf back in March of this year. Mm. I was really surprised by the enthusiasm. And I mean, looking back at it, I could have done a half a day just on building Office apps. I mean, two or three guys came up later and said, you should have cut out the whole first half of the day. We should have done this instead. Huh. It's like, he said, we got a lot out of it, but there's a lot more value in this for us.
So that's, yeah, well, like, it's promising. Like we should come back and talk to them.
Oh, yeah. So it's cool stuff, man.
So what else are you talking about? You've got a couple more sessions.
I'm doing, I'm doing the edgy stuff. So I'm doing a TypeScript session, explaining TypeScript for everybody that's doing client-side stuff. I'm doing a spa session, using Angular to build SharePoint-hosted apps. And then I'm doing a session on introduction to Node.js for Office and SharePoint developers.
Ah, so, ooh, that would be a real goodie.
It's fun. It's gotten a lot of good interest when I did it at Ignite, I did it at Build, and then I also did it at the SharePoint Saturday in Atlanta. So Node is just, it's got a lot of buzz around it. And so there's a lot of interest, and there's something to be said about having one language when you're building these client-side apps and having one language that you use all the way through the stack, from your build process to your testing process to the server side to the client side.
So I wish I wasn't going home. I want to come along to that.
All right. I'll do the session again. It's quite popular. I plan on doing it. I think I'm going to do it again in the SP Tech Con in Boston as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I'm doing mostly Node stuff, mostly JavaScript stuff instead of doing .NET stuff these days. It's just something new, something different. It's fun. So people are interested. So it's cool.
Nice. So that's incredible. Two birds with one stone in the same city, the same week, at the same hotel.
I saw two totally different worlds, too. I saw, like, all my Angular, like, open source world and everything, and then here's all the Microsoft, like, 365 worlds. Like,
yeah.
I'm seeing everybody in 1 week. This is fantastic.
You don't cross the beams.
No.
I mean, we should cross the beams, totally. But you know what I mean. SP Tech Con Developer Days is this show you should guys go. It's a great show. You should go check it out. And Angular U is the other one.
Angular U is the other one. Yeah, two good shows.
Cool.
All right. We'll go and wrap it up, make it a quick show this time, and hopefully we'll be able to have some time later this week to pull some attendees and maybe some the speakers and find out what people are up to these days.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Good show, man.
Cheers.
If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text. We'll record it as a WAV or an MP3 file and provide a link so that we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is an excerpt from Evaporated Eric by Monk Turner, used under Creative Commons. You can subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for the Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find a full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can find us on Facebook searching for the Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.